Good morning, Citywell. Good morning. Hi. Could we have another applause for our worship team? You guys are awesome, and I'm so thankful for experiencing the presence of the Lord in the midst of all the giftings you guys possess. This is a word from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, verses 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he did not want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did just as the angel from God commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Joseph called him Jesus. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Will you pray with me? Espíritu Santo, amado Dios, tú eres bueno. You are good. Come, Lord Jesus, come. For we know we have a friend in you, Jesus. We know we have a friend in you. Come, Jesus, come and pour your peace over us, your people, this day. Tu paz, Señor. Entra en este espacio hoy, Señor. Overwhelm us with a sense of peace that transcends all rationality. Be with us, your people. Dwell with us today for your glory and your witness. Amen. Today is the fourth Sunday in Advent. Advent is a time where we prepare for and anticipate the coming of Christ. It is a season marked with literal darkness as the days get shorter and colder. It is a season of waiting, of yearning. It is a season of waiting for and yearning for a love, a hope that can bring salvation to this world. This week in particular, we reflect on Christ as the one who brings peace in the world. Of all the virtues of Christ we reflect on during Advent, the hardest one for me often is peace. For you see, when first century Jewish people thought of the word peace, they were not thinking of the way that we often think of peace, as in this absence of conflict, as in this, "Oh, well, I had such a rough day at work today. I would just love some peace and quiet when I get home." No. When they thought of the word peace, they understood the word to mean shalom, a holistic and complete flourishing of the world. To be in shalom meant a healing and renewal of all people and things. It brings up images of wholeness and completeness. It means that each individual element flourishes, and that they not only flourish individually, but in order to be true to the spirit of shalom, they must be restored one in the other. My shalom is intimately wrapped up in your shalom. It means that for me, for us to have shalom, all of Lakewood, all of Durham, the world would need to be healthy and whole. That is the peace that we strive for. That is the peace in the imagery that we receive this morning. If this is the case, that peace is a complete and dramatic reordering and restructuring of the way things are so that we can be complete and whole, then waiting for peace, waiting for shalom, can oftentimes feel hopeless. How often do we find ourselves crying out, "How long, O Lord?" until the wealthiest nations in the world begin to care about the deaths of thousands and thousands of Syrians? How long, O Lord, must we wait for the flourishing of black and brown communities who day after day, peace and flourishing seem like a pipe dream? An ideal reserved for those who have the privilege to manufacture peace, for those who have the resources and who often deny or make difficult the ability for one's own flourishing in the world to happen. If this is the peace that you came to bring, where is shalom for us? For them, for the world? Is this some idealistic hope? This semester, I was part of an internship that many pastors participate in. They call it Clinical Pastoral Education, or CPE for short. And during that time, I had the opportunity to be a chaplain at a hospital. I learned a lot of things about myself and about people. But one of the things that really stood out to me was the way that God shows up in what seems empty and hopeless places. In a sense, the hospital is the opposite of peaceful. People go to tend to their pains, to deal with their illnesses. It is often a place of uncertainty and confusion. Very rarely do people go to the hospital and say they're looking forward to going to the hospital. I can think of maybe births, perhaps. I can't think of many more. But more often than not, a hospital is not a place that one celebrates in and of itself. I had a colleague one time tell me of a time that he was called to visit and see a family. He was called unexpectedly, and the family was unsure if their family member was going to die. Shortly after the passing of their family member, my colleague came and was with them for several hours. He listened and prayed alongside them. After being there for what seemed, like I said, a while, he went and grabbed some lunch. While grabbing his lunch, one of the family members later came up to him and gave him a big hug and said, "Thank you for everything you did for us today. It meant the world to us." He reflected to me that he felt as though he did nothing out of the ordinary. And yet this family experienced this deep and healing peace. It was as if what he had to offer was not done by him, per se, but what was done through him that was significant. And I like to think that that also mirrored my experience of CPE. That wholeness and flourishing was not something that I could provide, but rather witness to. I could witness to the light in the midst of darkness, to be a radical and symbolic reminder of a hope that transcends all understanding. More often than not, peace, shalom, is not a logical conclusion to the pain being faced by our communities and those suffering. It's really hard to look at pain and hopeless situations and say that flourishing is even possible. And yet, time and time again, the presence of God was like a gentle whisper in the midst of what felt like nothingness. To me, that is great news, that no matter what I can do, no matter how hard I try, peace, flourishing, and restoration is something that God does in spite of me and in spite of us. Now, I hear you. That sounds lofty and nice. But what I find a bit humorous is that God often anticipates the concerns and doubts of God's creation ahead of time. I don't find it to be a coincidence that throughout the Bible, when peace is mentioned, it is often discussed in the context of assurance. It's as if God knew that we would struggle with this idea that healing and flourishing was even possible in this present life. Peace I leave with you. My shalom I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. God knew that real peace, real shalom, was something that was so far-fetched in our minds that God had to come down and embody peace. And not only did God need to embody shalom, wholeness and restoration, but that God had to leave us an advocate, a helper, the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, so that we too could be assured, so that we too can witness and participate in the work of bringing justice, healing, and shalom to the world. Listen, God chose a poor Palestinian man named Joseph to be part of God's shalom. Even when he doubted or questioned, God showed up to reassure him. He chose a young girl named Mary to give birth to Jesus. He chose tax collectors and prostitutes and oppressors and slaves to be about the business of witnessing to the wholeness and flourishing that is to come. To witness to the truth of Emmanuel, of God with us. God chose the most unlikely of people to witness and experience shalom. God is choosing us in this season to wait and prepare for the work of wholeness and restoration, for the work of seeking flourishing in our communities. Advent is marked by a great vulnerability and hope. If we are called to receive the ways of Jesus as our way of life, then we must continue walking in hoping and yearning in the midst of darkness, in the midst of hopelessness. And we wait and we yearn and we hope together, side by side, in community, hand in hand, knowing that God sent us a helper, that we are not alone in seeing the kingdom of earth as it is in heaven. In the book of Ephesians, Paul talks about how we are called to be the feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace. Our feet, not our hands, but our feet are to be fitted with peace. I found that so remarkable. May it be, City Wall, that this Advent season that's marked with great anticipation, great expectation, be one that readies us and that gives us the audacity to truly believe that the world is in need and we are to witness to the restoration of all things together, together. May we be about the business of shalom for the glory of God and God's kingdom. Amen.